are. Cue that theme music, because this is episode 12, Self-Deception. This is your boy Dave Woods coming at you, UVU podcast. So let's get after it. All right. So today I was thinking about what's the difference between someone who's average and someone who's legendary. And when I was just mulling this over, I think it's a very thin line between averageness and greatness. And when you just see someone that you admire, or someone who's at that position that you want to be in, or you have that vision of where you want to be, it really comes down to just stacking up those habits and building up that discipline to get there over time. And it's not something that happens overnight. And just going even deeper, the things that champions do to get there are the things that everyone else is not willing to do. Like getting up really early in the morning, committing to that workout plan, committing to that the food restrictions, the diet, the regimen, whatever you want to call it, that lifestyle, and then just building up from there, cranking up the intensity. So if this is your first episode, this is a podcast all about physical fitness, motivation, how to lose 100 pounds, whether you're losing 50 pounds, 25 pounds, 5 pounds, or 500 pounds. This is my story on how I did it, going from 335 to 235, and what I'm doing in between to maintain it and goals that come along the way. So hopefully you can glean something from this and utilize the information here to get to where you're going. Now, without further ado, I'd say looking back on the journey in the last couple of years, I still wouldn't call myself legendary, right? This is just the end result of committing to dropping 100 pounds and then keeping it off, give or take a couple pounds. You know, life is hard around the holidays, so that's when I've just accepted there's holiday weight. But it's not a moment to get completely off track and then wake up one day, find yourself to be 335 pounds. I'm not going back to that. Never again. So the things that I was doing before made me average in every area, in every regard. And just small micro adjustments helped me to drop eventually 100 pounds. Took 4 years, and now I'm here. When it comes to the new year, this might be the moment in January 25th where all the people who've committed to a plan still have a little bit of steam left in the tank. Like I realize most of the people in the gym, I'm like, why is this place so packed all of a sudden? Oh, it's because of the new year. But give it a couple weeks and we'll see who's with it. And hopefully if someone's on the brink of throwing in the towel, they catch an episode of UVU and say, you know what? I'm gonna try again. I'm gonna try again. And that's all it really takes. So if you're committed to it and you're not gonna accept rejection or downfalls or pitfalls or obstacles that come out of left field, or obstacles that have grown and seem to be insurmountable, just remember what you're going for and that it does take sacrifice. And that's an aspect of those people who are legends, that they understand. It's going to take a lot of sacrifice. You're going to have to give up something. Maybe it's not as drastic as a full overhaul, but you're going to need to scale back on the averageness that you were complacent with, that you were comfortable with. And just to understand that you just do a little bit better than you did yesterday will eventually get you there. I'm a huge fan of learning what that habit looks like and then dialing up the heat So get more intense on what you're able to handle and just go from there. Go from there. Take a breather. Weigh yourself, assess yourself, see how far you've come, and then make adjustments from there. So that's all in all episode. So this might be the world's shortest UVU episode. It's coming in at 5.5 minutes. It's like, okay, this is the mentality that anyone can develop. And the moment that you start to realize that you've come a long way, that's the gas in the tank to keep going. You assess where you're at right now, you might be painting it in a very negative light. Like, I've lost this amount of strength. I've lost this amount of energy. It's hard to get that energy back. I don't seem to be motivated. I don't want to be motivated. It looks like everyone else has it much easier than I do. Right? That's just excess noise and the excuses to justify feeling a certain way and then maintaining that way of existence. And every episode of UVU, I want to just shake you out of that complacency, shake you out of that negative mind space, and say, hey, you can do this. Look, I'm a shining example of what it took to lose 100 pounds. So this is just a little bit of insight into how to have that winning mentality, that positive outlook, the motivation and the courage to get up and just go a little bit further than you did before. You just rinse, wash, and repeat, and you will be golden. When it comes to, we'll say, we'll stick with the gym theme because that's my area of familiarity and my preferred method of losing weight. When I explain to people what I did, it's definitely overwhelming. But the thing you got to understand and to consider is that it didn't all happen all at once. It was simply saying, I need to change the way that I eat. I'm going to start today. I'm not going to start on Monday. I'm not going to start a week from now. I already know that one of the areas of weight gain came from not having any restrictions. Put some boundaries up there. Don't go back for seconds. Have dessert once a day, not at every single meal. Don't overindulge. Don't drink excessively. Like, those are things that anybody on the face of the planet can do. And just having that up as a guideline will shock the system. Now, depending on how extreme you want to go, my advice is to see the process as something that should be able to be maintained after you hit that goal. Because the danger is putting the restrictions down and then gaining all the weight back. If you were to just, and I feel like this might be a moment where every episode, I just reiterate that whenever you eat, go for a 10-minute walk, you'll be fine. You will lose weight. And those 10-minute walks build up to the point where you'll be making strides in whatever your cardio goals are. And I think especially when it comes to physical fitness, it's sort of like money, right? Like, how much money is enough, right? We can always compare, oh, I'd like to be able to buy the Mercedes-Benz G-Wagon straight cash, right? If you could buy that car straight cash, one, you can afford it. And then two, it's still not an accurate metric for saying, is that enough money? I don't know what your financial goals are. But in terms of just the argument, there there are a couple things that seem to be so nebulous that you'd actually have to sit down and decide what that number is and then assess if you can get there or if you're already past there or what does it take to do that. In my mind, if you're not in debt and you are able to provide for not just yourself but your immediate obligations, your family if you have one, a family under you I should say, like the next generation, then you have enough money. But the whole thing that I'm getting at is when it comes to physical fitness and drawing the comparison between finances and fitness is you can't really tell, right? My rubric and my test of health, it has evolved and has changed because I lost 100 pounds, right? So a couple of years ago, I could have told you, oh, my metric of health is being able to run a mile. Like if you can complete 1 mile, it doesn't really matter how much you weigh. If you are able to bench press 225, no, you're in shape in a very specific push movement. Right? If you can pull or do some pull-ups or do some type of dragging exercise, lat row, dumbbell carry, right? Well, I guess that goes more into a carry than a pull. But if there's a certain weight that you can do, you're in shape. Right? The absence of injury, you're in shape. The absence of not being on the sliding continuum of being pre-diabetic, then you're healthy. But how can you tell until something bad happens, right? That's the whole thing that I'm getting at with this whole line of reasoning, that it's something that's seemingly in flux and constantly out of grasp unless you're already there. But then to be able to give that to someone else as a measure is pretty challenging. So the thing that I'm trying to bring home here is me being in better shape. I still feel like I'm not there yet of where I want to be. And that new year, the new goal, instead of it being 235, which is just the winter weight, shed those pounds, get back to 235, which is not far away. And then hit 225. 225 would be a personal record in my adult life, right? And from adult life, I mean post college, right? Most of the time, when I was in school, I was around that weight. Right? When I started gaining weight towards the end of my collegiate career, so now to say, oh, to get back to that, rolling in as a 37-year-old with a metric of when I was late teens, early 20s, would definitely be a reasonable thing to call a personal record in my adult life. And in order to do that now, well, it seems to be easy peasy lemon squeezy, right, to get to that point. 4 years ago, that would have been this Sisyphean task. So just to attack it, I said, how can I break this down in different areas of my life to just make those small adjustments to lose 100 pounds? It was changing the diet. It was exercising with a purpose and with a point. Changing the style of exercise to do it. Adding more walks. And then just being more cognizant of what I was doing to impact what that goal is. The person is average. I would say before I lost 100 pounds, very average when it came to, I guess you could, it'd be a better way to say it was very laissez-faire when it came to diet and exercise. I considered myself, you know, a gym bro. I'm familiar with the weights and familiar with different styles of training. I mean, you know, originally I went to school to be an athletic trainer and to have a, I always had a heart for strength and conditioning. Right. So definitely no slouch when it came to exercise, but in terms of carrying it out and living it, that's the evidence was on the scale, right? The body composition from muscle to fat ratio was not in the right proportion for, I'd say, longevity and health in the long run, further in life. So now, just making a small adjustment, I can do things that will lead to being legendary. I don't know if there's ever going to be a point where I would say that I'm a legend. I think David Goggins is a legend, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger is a legend. Michael Phelps is a legend, right? You choose any athlete who has got a gold medal, championship ring, or is just even in the league in whatever professional sector there you appeals to your heart, right? But since I'm not a professional, I wouldn't even put myself there. But in terms of being able to be an example to someone, I'd say, yeah, I'd love to be an example. If you ask me a question, I'll gladly answer it, right? Or at least attempt to give you my take on it. The evidence of being a credible witness to that is right before you, right? So the thing every single person who's listening should ask themselves is, am I doing what everyone else is doing? Or am I willing to do the thing that everyone else is not willing to do? It's getting up really early for work. Is that something that I can do? Not do I want to do it. Do you have the ability to do it? And that's on you to make that decision whether you want to do that or not. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm a huge proponent of pushing yourself for 6 to 8 weeks in order to assess what's really feasible or not. And that is something that doesn't necessarily impact you too much. But the momentum that you get from pulling off 6 to 8 weeks of something extreme, like getting up at 3 a.m. to go to the gym, work out outside, 4 a.m. to do it, 5 a.m. to do it. That is the thing that legends are made of. Imagine you doing that a second time. You thought it was impossible before. Then you pull it off. You see if you want to go back to that old schedule, that old routine. Maybe it doesn't have to be as extreme. Maybe it's just you're in the gym at 7 a.m. so that you're ready for your day whenever that starts. I have a feeling the average person would not even be in the right headspace to start their day by the time you're leaving the gym to move on to whatever it is that you do as an occupation, right? So there's a window of opportunity that happens while most people are asleep. I'm a huge fan of taking advantage of that, especially when you can. And the younger you are, the easier it is to do that. When I laugh about some of the things at high school where I'd be able to pull off, you know, very limited sleep and still be very high functioning. That if I tried to do that now, I would definitely just be cranky and unpleasant to be around all the time. So what's that called? That margin of error only gets larger the older you get, unless you change up some habits. And that's the way to do it. See what you're able to handle, and then adjust what those habits are. The person who is legendary doesn't even consider the alternative to what is realistic for their circumstances right then and there. To say, oh, there's at least 5 other people who are doing the thing that you're doing and making you an exception. Okay, well, that should be a reminder that there are people out there who are taking it very seriously and making it their driving force and then part of their happiness. You might ask, how does that impact your happiness? Well, if you know that you're working on your goal and over time you're seeing the results and other people are asking you questions about that too, that is a good barometer of saying, oh, you're on the right track. So the average, I don't know if people really say, hey, how do I be average today? Right? Just, if you want to be average, make an excuse. Make up the excuses, justify the behavior, even if it's something that's pleasurable and gratifying. Does it help your goal? It's not hard to answer that question. And for me, it was definitely dessert. dessert and food that is not building me up, right? So my Achilles heel definitely is pizza. Pizza, cake, cookies, ice cream. Really anything sweet and not full of the bad carbs, right? There are good carbs out there. You definitely should have a healthy mentality on that not all carbs are created equal. The whole thing that I'm getting at is if you are able to burn way more calories than you consume, yeah, it's all right to have what the bros like to say, a cheat day. But I'd be very cautious of how regularly that's done and allowed, or eventually it becomes just a lifestyle of having cheat days and that knocks you off your goal real fast. Case in point, come the end of the year, Christmas time, you can see it, and then as a human being, as a species, we are great at procrastinating. And then it doesn't have to be that way, you know? It can be one of those things where if there's that balance between consistency and the thing you want to have, the food that you want to have, the dessert that you want to have, you have way more wiggle room to have that in your diet without having this puritanical, tyrannical dictatorship over what you consume. But that's definitely, it's like a seesaw on a balance beam, right? I would not get comfortable with how much dessert one person takes in, especially the older you get, right? There's the ramifications of that, you know, not even the next day, you start to feel it later. Like, oh man, why do my eyes hurt? Why do I have a headache? That's way too much sugar. That's why. But the whole thing is when you consistently work on the skill, the talent, the habit, it eventually becomes the new pattern of behavior that is almost unrecognizable to the initial inertia that kept you from making that change. And this is the drum that I'll constantly beat for anyone who listens, is just to make small adjustments in as many areas as you can handle and then assess it in a couple weeks. It's not gonna upset all your plans. Yes, you do have to say no to certain activities and certain places and certain people, but it's definitely worth it. And when you are seeing that and you're starting to live it, and it really becomes the status quo for you, you'll say, why didn't I do that sooner? And that's all it really is. So you want to be average, or do you want to be legendary? The other thing I would bring to people's attention is the habit of saying, one day I'd like to do this. One day I'd like to go there. One day I'll be in this position, right? Instead of saying that, saying this is day one of that. Day one fitness goal, day one financial plan, day one family man, day one relationship stuff, day one being extroverted, day one public speaking, day one of going for that job, day one of working on the book, day one of writing the script, whatever it may be. That immediately fires the pistons in a different way. Instead of saying one day, this strategy comes to mind and you can visualize it, right? Just practice it in whatever that area of interest is, and you'll see. Who was it? Martin Short, I think it was, started playing the banjo. Right? He said, if I practice for 20 minutes a day, over time, I will have been playing for hours. And over time, those hours will have turned into days. And over days, it'll turned into me being proficient and then being professional. And I'm pretty sure he has a Grammy for a banjo album. Right? So that's something to take to heart. Right? I think I had mentioned that one of the New Year's resolutions was to learn German and Duolingo, take it for what it is a great start for me personally to say, I'm going to learn this language, not one day, but day one starts now. And it started with getting the app and then creating the profile and then creating the avatar and then doing the lessons, right? So the habit stack that I have right now is when I go to the gym, I will sit in my car for 15 to 20 minutes before I go into the gym, and I'll practice Duolingo. That is one way that I trick the system, as it were, for how to incorporate a new habit and form that into the skill and have it as the thing that is going to be measurable later. In 1 year, you can do so much, right? So the thing that I'm going to be doing now is recording what the goals are each year and then reassessing how much I've developed that and how much I've pursued it and how much energy that I've put into it to focus on it. And I have a feeling that's not... it's not that common, especially amongst the crowd that don't come up with New Year's resolutions. But that's the thing that I'm, just for me, that I'm trying to break of saying, I'm not going to just have this pipe dream, this pie in the sky idea of some fantasy thing that it would be nice to do this, but instead to reach up, grab it, pull it out of the ether, right? Of the ether of my mind, and then put it down on paper and look at it, study it, find interest in it, learn it, talk about it with other people, find those people who are interested in that particular thing, and then just invest in it. Plant the seed, water it. That's the sowing of the seed, but then nurturing it. putting a light on it, right? And over time, you'll see. I will be sparking the Deutschen all day. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing now is not necessarily doing it for other people or for any other reason besides testing the limits on what you're able to handle given your circumstances. And the thing that was my epiphany was that it doesn't really matter how old you are. You're always going to be going through something, and the stakes always seem to get really high when you commit to something. And that's the beauty of lifting weights, is you don't get stronger by just thinking about lifting weights or watching movies about people lifting weights or seeing the person that you idolize or who's a role model to you lifting weights and having conversations. It's you need to lift the weights yourself, right? The weights don't move themselves, and it's very tactile. Like you have to physically touch the weights and then strain against it, against the gravitational pull to keep it in the same spot. And the more you do that, the easier it becomes. And I was like, whoa, all right. I think I'd realized that as a kid. That's why I really enjoyed lifting weights. But then over time, being able to do certain movements and push myself against other people that were in that same age range and weight class, respectively, there are certain things that are like, whoa, I can do this better than they can. Oh, but that's only because I've been doing it longer than them. Take it with a grain of salt. There were a ton of exercises that other people were much better than I was at. But when it came to the blessing, the silver lining in the cloud, having hip surgery, was when there's the moment of having to learn how to walk again, right? And to do the rehab, to do the stretching, and feeling like an infant was beyond humbling. And then reset my brain in terms of saying, wait a second, look how far you've come, look what you've done, look where you're at now. Okay, now this is week one, day one, rehabilitation. Over time, you'll be stronger. Week two, man, this is still awful. It's still very painful. Skip ahead. Week five. I'm used to this pattern. It's not pleasurable. It does not feel good at all. But I know that if I keep doing this and I'm committed to it, my range of motion can be as close to the original design that God had in mind for me, and it will impact my core much better than if I had not done rehabilitation. Okay, if that's the case, what can I do? I'll be able to run faster, I'll be able to jump higher, I'll be able to do push, pull, carry movements without as much pain. Yeah, that's an incentive enough to really take rehabilitation and then strength and conditioning seriously. Right? So take that to heart. And that's always the reason why I say, look at yourself. Don't look at other people. And if you're looking at other people, look at them with admiration and saying, treating it as your own social experiment of finding out what they did to get to where they're going, but then how you can implement those things in your life to get to where you're going. That's the UVU nugget of the day, right? To always treat it as something where you can get better from it and inspire other people to get better for themselves, right? We all know you can bring a horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink. And this style of training and then recording and then revising and then talking about it on a podcast, it motivates me, especially on those off days where I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go to the gym today. No. I have to go to the gym because I know what happens when I don't. Oh. What's the, what am I working on? Oh, to get down to 225. Just asking those questions and keeping those things in mind keeps me on track in a more specific area than saying, you know what? I am healthy. I'm fine. I'm already there. It's like a Jack LaLanne moment where each year you're going to have to just push yourself to see what you're capable of. And then throughout the year, continue doing it and staying consistent with loving what those obstacles are, loving what that resistance is. And when you're seeing the average person or remembering back when you used to talk like that or think like that, or express yourself like that, you can say, that's the old me. I no longer do that. This is what greatness looks like. This is what separates me from the pack. This is how I can be ready when push comes to shove by being consistent with diet and exercise. Those are two things everyone can control. So, yeah, this is the difference between being like everyone, looking like everyone, or standing out and then being able to back up what that change and adaptation has led you to, has helped you to evolve into. No. That's that. Do you want to be average? You want to be legendary? I guess one of those things is just that constant reminder of how far you've come, and then remembering that. I'm not sure if I had ever spoken about the cookie jar. This is one of those moments where I'm like hearing it from David Goggins. I implemented it myself and then felt so inspired that that's now a wedding gift for people. It'll be the cookie jar and 8 dates by the Gottman Institute. Those two gifts might be actually the gift that keeps on giving, right? One, 8 dates, the book, 8 dates by, what are their first names? The Gottmans. Anyway, the Gottmans have analyzed and studied relationships and what those factors are that either make a relationship or break it. And it has so many determining factors, but it really comes down to conflict resolution and how couples recognize what that conflict is, and then how they navigate it and still invest in each other as a couple to move forward despite whatever those areas are. Well, that's great for longevity of a relationship and having a healthy relationship. But then the next one is the cookie jar, where you write down an obstacle that you overcame and keep that as a memory. You keep it for rainy days. So instead of actually reaching for the cookie when you would normally say, hey, I need a little dopamine hit, bite a chocolate chip cookie, you grab one of the memories from the cookie jar and put yourself in it of what that looked like before you overcame an obstacle, but then what it led to and how you felt afterwards. And that is enough of a judo move psychologically to pull you out of a rut. It's a technique that is as effective as being the wind blowing the clouds out of the way when you're having a rainy day. All of a sudden the sun starts shining again, and all of a sudden you say, wait a second, why was I tripping about that thing? Oh, that was as Dr. Tobin says, some stinking thinking. You know, you want some stinking thinking. Put yourself right. Put yourself right in the what the headspace of a legend looks like. Now, resilient. You get over things quickly. You can put memories in the cookie jar consistently, or I should say, whenever, how many of them you have. I mean, if you do a little soul searching, you realize you probably have at least 20, right? Or maybe one for each year of your life. So I have, I feel like it's too many to count, but that's a rant for another podcast episode. The beauty of having the scars and the losses that have incurred over the years and overcoming those losses, that's what makes a good life, right? Just being able to see the progress, the change, and then say, okay, I'm getting challenged now. How can I overcome these challenges? And having a game plan for it. And I think that's what's separating the average mind from the legend mind, the legend's mind, right? Legendary mind. Everyone has that capability and capacity to do it, but how many people actually want to change? Do you want to be an armchair philosopher and say, one day? Well, actually, I like that song, Montes Yago, One Day, but that's neither here nor there. It's the moment of saying, do I want to speak like that? Or do I want to be about it? Do I talk about it? I'm going to be about it. I encourage all of you to be about it. And there's absolutely no circumstance that you can find yourself in if you still have breath in your lungs that you can't overcome. If you can breathe, you can overcome. It might not be as drastic as if you were fully functioning physically or psychologically or emotionally or whatever the case may be. You can definitely make changes, small changes, and then build up from there. The scene that comes to mind as I'm saying this is in Kill Bill, the movie Kill Bill, when Uma Thurman's character is, she just came out of the coma, right, being shot in the head. She can't really move, and so, she can't walk because she had the muscles have atrophied so poorly that she's not able to even stand up. Well, the first thing she does is break it down to the smallest factor, and it's getting the synapses to fire and using the muscle memory to move her big toe. She's like, oh, wiggle your big toe, right? That is key. If you feel overwhelmed, stressed out, depressed, beaten, broken, first thing you do, just wiggle your big toe. Second, you're able to do that. Oh, let me wiggle the other toes. Let me put them in sequence. Okay, let me try another area and expand the range of motion on that. Okay, now you're able to breathe. Keep breathing, keep breathing. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Just pausing for a moment like that will eliminate the they call it couch lock, right? To break through that inertia, to break through any roadblock. Break it down to its smallest component and build it up. I guess one of the last points would be the quote. I should have done the research beforehand. I think it was Abraham Lincoln. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to fact check that one. Do a little Google search. Some people are born great. Others have it thrust upon them. Just chewing on that. I was in real time right now thinking, what do you mean born great? coming from a family of greatness. Legends are just popping out left and right. Each brother, each sister, each aunt, uncle, cousin, right? Or is that the history of knowing how to rise and overcome, and then having taken those lessons, the things that you've learned from that, applying it to your life, but from childhood, so you already have that, or other people have it thrust upon them? An average person is called to stand out and to be a leader. Do they think that they're a leader? Do they think that they're exemplary in a certain area? Do they think they have some? Do they know that they have some outlook that is able to motivate and change their friend group, their family dynamic, the society at large? I don't know. I think it might just be a moment where, when push comes to shove, that person is able to calm themselves, wiggle their big toe, and then diagnose the situation, and then put that strategy into place to overcome whatever that problem is. Some people are born great, others have it thrust upon them. This right here is that opportunity, right? Do you want to be average, or do you want to be great? Do you want to be a legend? I'm willing to bet 98% of the people listening to this say, I want to be great. And you can. Wiggle your big toe, come up with that strategy, stick to it, and you will find yourself amongst the greats. Well, that's it for the day. I'll let you chew the fat on your own time and say, these are the keys that have helped me get through the door of losing 100 pounds. Well, I'm passing you a key right now. I can't unlock the door and walk forward for you. That's something you got to do yourself. This is UVU, Dave Woods coming at you. Enjoy. You're meant for more than averageness and mediocrity. Go be a legend.